So there's an opportunity for those out there. If you're a novice or an entry level position individual, or you believe you're that you're you you've met a level of mastery, you're manager, CEO, VP. Well, guess what? At any level, there's an opportunity to be a mentor and a protege. So this is a challenge. Who's your mentor and who's your protege? Because if think about this. I think it was in 2017, the Construction User Roundtable said that the talent management gap is creating a national crisis, and it's even widening right now, more and more and more and more. And guess what? But if we if Sean mentors two people, those two people mentors two more, that's a multiplication
That's it's
factor.
multiplying, right? That's it. That's your approach right there.
And instead of having a mentorship process, you actually create a multiplier effect that's sustainable for your next success. You create within your own
Yeah.
organization a succession planning.
Welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast, where we talk with industry leaders who are making an impact in their businesses. Each leader is solving complex challenges and providing solutions within their respective areas of expertise. Our host is Sean Grady. He is passionate about helping clients transform their businesses and solving their environmental challenges. And here's our host, Sean Grady.
Today's episode is sponsored by Cascade Environmental, the only field services contractor with the personnel and equipment needed to work with you from project conception to completion. They have 37 offices across the country and offer a huge range of environmental or geotechnical drilling, site characterization, and remediation services. Thanks to their technical experts, huge fleet of equipment, and nationwide coverage, Cascade is a great choice to support your environmental or infrastructure projects. To learn more, check them out at www.cascade-env.com. That's www.cascade-env.com. Mark Hernandez, welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you, to your audience. It's a privilege. We've been talking about this for a while, and thank you for the opportunity to join your podcast.
No, super excited to get you on. Finally, talk about some leadership and how does leadership help environmentally transform businesses, right?
Yes.
From the inside out. That's kind of what I'm thinking we touch on today. Just to give the listeners a little understanding of and background on Mark. So Mark is one of the country's foremost leadership speakers, trainers, and coaches. He helps organizations and individuals multiply in purpose and performance. Mark spent nearly 12 years as a compliance assistant specialist with OSHA and a safety specialist for Marathon Petroleum Corporation for the past 6 years. Mark is also a John Maxwell certified coach, trainer, and teacher and speaker. And so, that's pretty impressive there. I think that's great. Learn how he is changing organizational culture one person at a time through his Marks Speaks motivational programs, which is how I got to know Mark through one of his keynote speeches or presentations at the Texas Chemical Council Health and Safety Conference down in Galveston.
Yes.
I want to say back in 2018, I think is when it was. And you talked on game day, four
Game
principles
day.
and practices of accelerating performance. And
Yes,
it
yeah.
really, yeah, I mean, that thing, that was really cool. It was very impressive. It spoke to me. There was a lot of discussion about mentoring in your presentation and just kind of really talking about, investing in people and having empathy towards them. And so
Yes.
afterwards, we spoke for a few minutes. I really wanted to get to know you and meet you and just, because I was like, I was moved, man. I was like, dude, this guy is great, man. I got to talk to this guy.
Well, I really appreciate that, going 2018 and remembering that. I mean, that's for a speaker or a coach or a trainer, that's That's cool that somebody would remember. That means that it, something I said resonated. So I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, you know, how did you get started on your journey to become a motivational speaker, coach, and trainer? I mean, that's, you know, not everyone just wakes up and goes, I want to do that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's been said that most people would rather die than do public speaking, which I was one of those guys.
Right.
But before I became a speaker, I too am a safety professional. So I'm not an environmental side of the safety wheelhouse, but I've been in safety for, 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And so to start the story, again, got out of, you know, yesterday was Vets Day. So shout out to all the veterans. I was in the Navy, got out of the Navy.
Thank you for your service. Thank you.
And so I started looking for a job, started as a scaffold builder. They needed somebody who was bilingual on a turnaround. So they asked me, said, hey, Mark, you're bilingual. You're Hispanic. We need somebody to speak Spanish on nights. You want to be a safety coordinator on nights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, Mark Hernandez, I'm bilingual, so I could do that. Long story short, I liked it, but, you know, I didn't have the. So as you know, there's a technical side to what we do and there's a soft skill side to what we do.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think the bridge in between is understanding the people skills, the soft skills, which is no longer Harvard Business Review said that they're no longer soft skills. So, you know, I had the opportunity to work for OSHA for 12 years. And part of that was I was in meetings a lot. I was responsible for outreach programs.
Right.
Creating alliances under the cooperative program. So a lot of that was speaking, meetings, training, things of that nature. So I've always been, you know, for the audience, John Maxwell's been in leadership for, 40 plus years.
Sure.
And I've read a lot of his books. And I was on a webinar where he announced he was going to start a certification program.
Mm-hmm.
So I told myself, well, hey, you know, I've read a lot of John's books. And I, at the time, that was my main goal, was just becoming a better speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back in 2011. Mm-hmm. I'm a founding member. We started with 500. Now there's over 30,000 in like 125 countries. John just
had my goodness.
Yeah. John just put out his 73rd book.
Mm-hmm.
73rd book. We had a webinar talk with him the other day. So it started with the goal of becoming, sharpening a soft skill that I saw that I lacked in.
Mm-hmm.
Then as I grew into the mentorship side of the John Maxwell team, I stayed in the speaker track because your speaker trainer coaches, that's the three lanes that they teach you in. And I just stayed in there and I really enjoyed it. I really liked it.
Uh-huh.
And then I started multiply leadership, you know, speaking, doing a lot of, initially it was just 30 minute talks.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoyed it. And really this lab about it, I would say a year and a half ago, I've done more motivational speaking and workshops than anything else. And then we rebranded, relaunched everything this past year. Mark Speaks, new website, whole new marketing thing, whole new logo, with the whole emphasis of that is to bridge that gap, you know,
right.
not only in the safety and health, but in all industries, because truly, again, there's a technical side to whatever, if you're in engineering or environmental or health, public health. There's a technical side, but then there's a people side. And as a matter of fact, COVID has really brought that out because at the end of the day, you can't really manage, but you have to lead effectively. And so that's where my passion grew from. Initially starting to sharpen a soft skill and ultimately becoming, you know, Mark Speaks.
Well, so you know, you had your safety background through OSHA and you recognized you had some, you know, areas in your, you know, speaking abilities that you wanted to strengthen, right? Because you were engaged with a lot of people trying to convince them and understand, you know, the purposes of, you know, proper safety and getting buy-in and helping them understand what the safety culture should be. So you go to John Maxwell's training. When did you realize, like, I got a gift in this stuff? I mean, because when I saw you and I was up there sitting there, you know, watching you, I was like, this guy, he has it. He's got the it factor, you know? So I just like, when did you figure that out and go, wow, okay, there's something here. I need to kind of pursue this more.
Well, I appreciate that, because that's really why I kept gravitating and staying in the speaker lane was the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if this, what's called social proof is if you're good, then there's social proof. Then, because a lot of my, you know, occurring or reoccurring are all referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And so the social proof, which you just mentioned, that was it. Because I really didn't think I was good at the beginning. I will go back and look at some of the videos and say, man, that's not good. But when you hear the stories, or, you know, hey, Mark, you know, I remember this, and this. As a matter of fact, I remember going to a store, and there was a gentleman that I would do a lot of, you know, go speaking contractor sites. And this one site had like almost 500 employees, and it was during the fall stand down. And we talked about, you know, falls and hazards and things like that, but I did in a high energy type way. But what struck me and said, hey, Mark, there's something here, is that when people come to you and say, hey, this is different. The way you said it, how you said it, and what you know, all those things were different. And I think content by itself is good, but at the end of the day, again, going back to what I learned from John and Les Brown, is that you have to be able to connect. And I think that's one of the things that I've been, you called it a gift, and I believe it is a gift, but I have to sharpen it, is when you can see some impact, when you can see some social proof, if you will, in that somebody received something from what you said, but they were able to become better. They were able to do something with it, not just become motivated, because it's not really becoming motivated about one
thing. Act on it, apply it in your life, right? Exactly. I think that when a lot of people hear messages, especially in safety, they hear messages from the same people all the time. And it, you know, after a while, it's kind of like, right? Yeah. But somebody new comes in and they basically tell you the same thing with a little slightly different perspective, and they're more receptive, right? They'll accept it. They'll eat it up. They're like, that guy. And you know, I think that's kind of the trick here, is being able to resonate and, you know, basically, you know, meet somebody at their level, and they're not like, hey, this is the same guy, this is a different guy, and I get it, you know?
Yeah. And I think for me too, also, Sean, was that I was on my tools. So I can easily connect with the laborer, a supervisor, a foreman, a manager, a superintendent, and even a corporate manager. I was a corporate safety manager at one point. So at different levels, and even from the enforcement side, I can relate and connect, because I do the due diligence on the front side to really hone in. No different than if you create a new program or procedure, you want to do, what are the needs, a basic needs assessment. That way I know what the needs are, and through the teaching or the speaking, I'm able to connect and build those bridges of connections throughout the content. And so that's the one thing that I've learned. But at the end of the day too, you have to be sharp. And I've learned that through the discipline of staying in it, and every opportunity is speaking with, because I say excellence, but it's becoming a true craftsman at what your skill at, no different than if it's environmental, no different than it's a doctor. If you and I are going to go to get heart procedure. We're not going to go to a novice individual.
No, we want the expert, right?
We want to go to the expert. And so at the end of the day, that feedback from a craftsman as well as a CEO or president of a company really tells me, hey, Mark, you're hitting on something here. Stay with it, but also build on what I've learned to put my ear to the ground and say, what are the needs? And then build on what those needs. And then that's where, you know, I can build a bridge between what the gap is of what is and what can be with relations to where the company wants to go and wants to go.
So when you get involved with, an organization who's like looking for somebody to come in and talk with them to kind of energize the leaders, the employees, you know, you need to prepare, right? I mean, you're going in thinking, okay, what do I need to know to go talk to this audience? I mean, I think I just recently remember seeing a Maxwell Minute session talking about preparation, right? Yep. You know, it's like, if you don't prepare, you're not going to be too successful. Matter of fact, I just heard a leadership podcast today where Jack Nicklaus was interviewed by David Novak, one of the Yum! Brands, former CEO. And Jack says, well, if you didn't prepare, you don't really play well, right? You know, and the same thing in life, right? If we don't prepare well for our presentations, for our audience, you kind of, you don't have, you know, your mojo, so to speak, right? When you go in, right?
Right. And that's a perfect segue to, you know, the impact, for example, where I was at recently with Marathon Patrol, and we had the opportunity to bridge and integrate two BBS programs, which was difficult. But at the end of the day, we did it in a short time frame. But from that, we not only did the marketing campaign and all the logos and all that stuff, what was needed, but we wanted to create a 30-minute high-impact presentation, but for the first time in the history of the site, deliver it to all four shifts. That way, every employee at the site got the message.
Sure.
And the feedback was amazing, not because of the content, but how. So what we did, I basically trained the trainer on every single one of them, how you can create these payoffs during your presentation. And the powerful thing was they were so unique because every single person, I helped them with craft a 5-minute story.
Like their own special story, right?
Stories are powerful.
Right.
You know, every single time I create content, it's so what do I want to learn, do, feel, but in between learn and or feel and do is a story.
Mm-hmm.
Stories are unique. You have a story, Sean. I have a story. Every single person has a story. And so what that story does is helps relate to the individual, bridge the principles, and create action.
Well, so what are some of the biggest challenges or, you know, lessons learned that you've had to overcome through your process, you know, becoming, you know, one of these recognized, you know, leadership speakers?
I would say not betting on myself early on.
Mm-hmm. Just not having that 100%, like, I got this. It's like making sure that you keep challenging yourself to become better and better.
Yeah, I read in Good to Great, Jim, what's his name? Jim Collins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before writing the book, he was a professor. Mm-hmm. And he would tell you that you have to learn when to jump. But if you never learn to jump, see, you bet on yourself when you jump.
Mm-hmm.
And many times some people say you have to have the plan laid out. Yeah, you have to be prudent. But I guarantee you, when a person has both feet on first, they will never steal second. Yeah. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
And it's not an absolute if they're going to steal second either. But I guarantee you every single time they make minor adjustments along the way. And I would say that, and this is for any young professional out there as well, is that if you bet on yourself first, you will always win.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that if you jump and you hurt yourself because it's going to fall, you're going to fall.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to learn from that.
There's a lesson learned from that. As a matter of fact, there's a powerful book that John created or wrote what's called Failing Forward. Every failure is an opportunity to fail forward. And for me, this is a powerful story. So early on, number one was to bet on myself. Understanding we all have a God-given potential, and our job is to nurture that.
Yep.
So if my goal is to become a speaker, and I know I have some areas of capacity in there, but I never feed that, I never sharpen that skill, guess what? I will never become good. So we're in Guatemala with the John Maxwell team, and John has been blessed to been given like 27 presidential invitations to go and teach transformational leadership. And the first country was Guatemala. I went in 2016. So we're having lunch. We've already been training. It was 4 days and exhausting days, but awesome seeds you're sowing because, you know, you're transforming a country.
Sure.
And I'm sitting, let's just say we're having lunch, Sean, and you asked me a question. He said, you asked me, Mark, how's your book going? I'm telling myself, see, there's a little voice in your head telling yourself every single time at every level you go at, you're not good enough. Every level.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always that doubt, that little bit of doubt, right?
You're not good enough. Well, I need this. And again, that voice told me, what the heck? And my first response, I'm not a writer. Mm-hmm. And he said, Mark, you should always have two books with you, the book you're reading, the book you're writing. I said, tell me that again. He said, you should always have two books, the book you're reading, the book you're writing. And then he asked me again, so where's your book? And I said, again, see, the voice, if you see that narrative you tell yourself becomes your reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that the narrative, what you tell yourself becomes your reality. And guess what? Your future becomes diminished. Sure. And so if you bet on yourself, which what you're going to do, you're going to dismiss that voice because you're going to say, I can, therefore I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to have that motivation.
Yeah. The future becomes what you create. And so long story short, he said this, and this is powerful for anybody.
This is John telling you this, right?
Well, this is a
part, or is this another speaker?
This is another speaker, part of the John Maxwell team.
Okay.
And now he's the VP of the John Maxwell team.
Okay.
He said this, Mark. He said, come here.
let me give you some advice.
Let me talk to you. And he said, Mark, understand, I guarantee you that my first ugly book is better than your unpublished book.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got a book.
He's got a book.
Right.
But I thought about that, I was like, he's freaking right.
Yeah.
His first ugly book is better than my unpublished book. So now, for all those that are listening, please remember the first person you got to bet on is yourself. You can't bet on your team. You cannot give what you don't have. If you can't bet on yourself, you will never bet wholly, fully on your team. I guarantee you.
Right. You have confidence.
You have to have confidence in yourself, knowing that you can and will. Therefore, you can equip your team.
See, so talk about a little bit about the support, though, you know, to help somebody get through that discouragement potential. I mean, you know, like that doubt set, you know, the mentoring that you've received along the way to convince yourself, to help you change that mindset.
Well, the mentoring part is huge. I mean, I'm in a mentoring process right now. One of the things, because again, these are all principles that I've learned from John, is that you should always have a mentor and you should always have a protege, meaning don't be a river, be a reservoir. See, the stuff that you get in, now you can flow through you. What you get in goes through you. What you get in goes through. The more you get, the better you can
give.
Yeah. And so if you don't ever, and I think this is one of the biggest areas of opportunity for any professional, if you're an executive, CEO, president, whatever, if you're not investing in yourself, get a coach. Because we get focused like this. And see, the coach helps you open those. I have yet to meet get in a car, Sean, where there's no side mirrors. That's by design.
Right.
That's by design. And keep we all have these, We all have these biases. We all have this narrow mindset or views or even beliefs that we have. And that's where the coach comes in. But for me, the mentoring side, and I did this 2 years ago, even speaking, I would challenge people to mentor and do things. And I went back after it. And I tell myself, Mark, you're not mentoring nobody.
Right. Yeah. So you kind of convicted yourself and like, I got to do something, right? Yeah. Right.
How are you telling or asking and challenging people to do one thing you're not doing yourself? So 2 years ago. So every year I challenge myself and I mentor 10 people.
And 10, that's a lot. That's a big commitment.
Well, the first was 10, this past year was 6. But I tell you what, so the podcast that I'm going to be coming out with is called Multiply Others.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. That's perfect. That's a great mentor.
It's not just a name, it's a movement.
Sure. No, I love that. I mean,
it's a movement. Why? Because if you multiply one person, guess what? Gandhi, Mother Teresa said, there's a lot of people around it. Everybody said, I want to help people. I want to help people. Just start with the person beside you.
Yep. Yep. Who's next to you? Who's receiving your message or your word or your influence, right? Yeah.
And I think we get caught up with, we have to be a CEO or an executive or at some level. No, guess what? A mere handshake, a mere smile, if you can see, there was an individual who was an intern, by the way, but knew more in the area of Excel and spreadsheets. Now, what I did, I gravitated, pulled her into the team. And so we're all novice and master.
Yeah, right. So, but your team, you work the gifts of each of the individuals to make the team stronger, right?
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, mentoring for me too is it's a big thing, right? I mean, it is the one thing that I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. I also mentor. I've got an edge group. We call it Edge Mentoring. Mm-hmm. It's a professional, personal and spiritual mentoring, group. And the mentors come in and they're selected and we have the ability to mentor, young professionals who are in their, 23 to 35 age, group that are really hitting the entry points of their career, trying to figure out what it's all about. How do I, move up in their organizations or, develop a career? It's fascinating the amount of interest that the young guys have. I mean, it's great because they are like, they absorb it. They bring fresh perspectives for me. I'm an older guy. I mean, I'm not thinking like they're thinking and I learn a lot from them too. So I'm getting as much out of it as they're getting from me. And it's a great opportunity to be a mentor. I highly recommend it for sure.
So there's an opportunity for those out there. If you're a novice or an entry level position individual, or you believe you've met a level of mastery, you're manager, CEO, VP. Well, guess what? At any level, there's an opportunity to be a mentor and a protege. Uh-huh. So this is a challenge. Who's your mentor and who's your protege? Because think about this, I think it was in 2017, the Construction User Roundtable said that the talent management gap is creating a national crisis. And it's even widening right now more and more and more and more. And guess what? But if Sean mentors two people, those two people mentors two more, that's a multiplication.
It's multiplying, right? That's it. That's your approach right there.
And instead of having a mentorship process, you actually create a multiplier effect that's sustainable for your next success. You create within your own organization succession planning.
That's right.
This episode is sponsored by the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, or TRCP, whose mission is to guarantee all Americans quality places to hunt and fish. They do this by uniting and amplifying voices of their 60 organizational partners and more than 100,000 individual advocates to affect policy change in Washington, D.C. and across the country. Right now, a top priority of the TRCP is to convince lawmakers to invest in conservation projects and programs that benefit fish and wildlife while providing Americans opportunities to work. Congress can boost the outdoor recreation economy and create jobs in many other sectors by funding improvements to wetlands, migration corridors, access roads, boat ramps, campgrounds, and visitor facilities on public lands. To learn more and become a member of the TRCP, visit www.trcp.org/conservationworks. That's www.trcp.org/conservationworks.
One of the credentials you have, and we've been talking about this, but is really what drew me to you was this John Maxwell certified speaker, you know, cause I follow John a bit, you know, I've got his book, I got his daily reader and I read that sucker all the time. I'm pulling out every, you know, day, not every day, but you know, I'm always pulling that thing up and looking at the daily entry and seeing what, you know, speaks to me, you know, because there are always some good nuggets of leadership, principles that, you know, just remind you to stay grounded or to think of others or to have empathy or to be, you know, self-aware or to, you know, so many, you know, good pieces of advice. And it was, so when I noticed you were a certified trainer in his program, I was like, wow. So talk a little bit about that process of going through and how that transformed you, because I can tell that that's really been the thing that's really puts you into a whole nother level, right?
Oh, definitely. And again, I've been through a lot of different professional programs and workshops, but the one thing that John's program has been able to do for me personally is just not only give me the confidence, the motivation to jump and believe in myself, but actually create and do something. Giving me the tools, the practical tools. I love one of the things that John says. He says, you know, get the hard things out of the top shelf and move them right here in the middle shelf, right here where you can get them. He says he cannot stand going to the store and grabbing something and not being able to reach for it because it's way up here. And that's what we do to our organizations and our team members. We put stuff way up here and have a high expectation, but we never put the stuff right here with the practical tools, which they can apply, given the practical tools. So that's one of the things that I love, crazy content. I mean, let's just, again, John Maxwell is the foremost expert in leadership, and I've been able to not only learn by him, but watch him. See, people do what people see.
Yeah, right.
People do what people see. And so that's modeling the way. So I've learned through visually, I've learned through him speaking, I've learned through his content, I've learned through action, how to create a plan and put it to action. Think about this. How does an individual, an organization go into a country in a week and train over, let's just say, I think in Guatemala, the first time was over 25,000 people. How do we do that? So at first, the first time that I went, it just blew by me. It was just, I mean, crazy amount of energy. The first week was like, you come home, literally, Sean, you come home, you're still on high because you just impacted and did a bunch of crazy stuff. But right. The second time I went, I said, I'm going to take notes. I'm going to learn. I'm going to observe. Why? Because where there's a good roadmap, you need to follow it.
Sure. Right. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, right? If it's working and it's perfected.
And so I would say those are the things that I've been able to learn and then being able to apply, because John is a master at this, and organizations, you know, they use terminology or methodology to create transformation or change when all we need to do is keep it simple. And sometimes it's hard to keep it simple because we like new. Because we haven't stayed with something long enough to see it's actually sustainable or creating the desired outcomes. And so I've learned to stay in the practice, to stay in the profession, to stay in the discipline, because that's, again, I just mentioned 73rd book. I mean, he's
got content. Man, he's just so
and so and so I think that I've been challenged. I mean, not to brag on this, but you know, I launched Multiply Leadership, then branded Mark Speaks and website and all that good stuff, and you know, got created content and published, co-authored two books in 2017. Again, I don't say that to impress people. I say it to impress upon you that you gotta sharpen yourself first.
Sure. Go after it, you know, and spend time, right? Learn and invest in yourself, right?
That's right. Because the potential cannot grow unless you don't invest in it.
Well, there's that saying, you know, it's like, you know, the person who's got, well, I think John just brought this up. I'm giving these little John Maxwell-isms here, but he's like the guy who has potential, but no desire, you know, and he doesn't really apply the, you know, a desire with this potential, doesn't really go very far, right? You know, he's got a lot, you know, but then the guy who, you know, works his butt off with, you know, not as much potential, but really applies himself is going to be successful, right?
Oh yeah.
And so it's really about, you know, if you can marry those two things together, right, then you've got that magic sauce where, man, things can happen.
And so that's why, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, that's the you know, the goal is to try to marry up that desire with your skills and your, you know, your abilities, your talents, and really pursue the goals you're going after.
Yep, absolutely. And that's where I focused on leadership for many years with John, public speaking, because, you know, again, to be able to do all that, you have to be able to communicate and relate and connect. Mm-hmm. And then I focused on high performance, because truly organizational change or culture change comes to shifting performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
If you don't shift performance, there's not a shift in culture.
You're just doing the same thing.
You're just doing the same thing.
Right.
So I married these two, and that's where, you know, through that Mark Speaks, passionately speaking to elevate performance. And so again, it's this, these two arms, if you will, of leadership and high performance, and doing it in a way with passion to, you know, to help organization elevate the performance. Because at the end of the day, there's not a company out there that says, hey, I'm okay with margins. Right. I'm okay with, you know, barely getting by this month, or third quarter, you know, sure, our market share price has dropped, you know, 10%. We're okay with that. No. There's not one that wants to do that. On the other side, there's not employees or team members. They're saying the same thing. It's being able to get these two groups and identify. So what are the needs? What is, and then what will be? And that's where I come in.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about these programs that you put together that you help and offer clients, because I think that's kind of the, you know, one of the, you know, the value propositions, so to speak, here for Mark Speaks. And why would somebody bring Mark into an organization to, you know, convince and to speak to into the people of that organization to, you know, transform, to make that leap to, you know, to shift the performance, you know, what? So I think you've got, you know, obviously, you know, you do keynote motivational speaking, right? I mean, so that's part of it. You have workshops, you get coach. I mean, how does this all work for you?
So if an organization would like to, you know, follow up with us, they can go to Mark Speaks. But at the end of the day, markspeaks.co, I was asked this when I did a keynote here recently, which was an online virtual, you know, Safety Connect, and they had like over 4,000 people. And
wow,
it was an amazing experience, virtual, all new for me. But at the end of the day, was people were asking some same questions that I've, you know, been receiving in other workshops or keynotes. So what it's telling me is that there's a need not only for an individual to come in and motivate, but only, you know, but come in, motivate, give some energy, but be able to bring some practical tools that they can immediately apply to create shift. That's where, again, I've been able to come in, for example, you know, a lot of the comments was, Mark, this was easy. I love the energy, and I love this. I love this, and I love this takeaway. So what it tells me is, one, I met a need of creating energy, but I also met a need of giving some practical tools that you can apply now. And I think that is the biggest thing that I've learned to help organizations, because if we can keep it simple for a manager And then we can keep it simple for an individual organization team and then help create the discipline along the way to create some payoffs. Oh, that's a huge win for organizations.
Oh, absolutely. Well, so that's the keynote side. How do you, you know, set up workshops to if someone's interested in saying, look, I want you to come in and really help us kind of, you know, identify where our challenges are and help us create the solution and overcome, you know, to really develop a better program.
So what I love to do is whether with the executive team, I love to meet with them first. And mm-hmm. I did this with one organization. I met with their management team and then their mid managers. What was interesting, Sean, is they had the same, I would say, pain points, but didn't even know it.
Oh, really? Wow. Because they weren't talking.
They weren't talking.
Right.
They were talking to, not with.
Mm-hmm.
So
what was the pain point? What was the pain point?
The pain points were that they weren't getting enough. They weren't getting valued. They weren't getting recognized or rewarded.
Okay.
They were being so they didn't have a committee. They weren't being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Management was on the upside saying, "Yeah, we are." So what I try to do is do a 360 with managers. Do a needs assessment with the team. And what I found, they were both saying the same thing. They were just not being heard. Mm-hmm. And so what I was able to do is show this, because again, when you're able to see, that's what is, that's the pain point now is what is, or the desired need is now. The what will be, you have to create a bridge somehow. And right, the only way to do that is understanding the need, but then the ability to articulate, okay, so what's a plan? How can we do that? Make it simple. Those are the things that I've learned in the past that helped them create some small wins. And so what's real important from that, we were able to create some small wins. Employers were happy, helped them create some type of recognition that was sustainable, meaningful.
Right.
But also for managers to be observed as individuals, as coaches. That was one of the key things that was missing, was managers were viewed as individuals who were
Not caring. Right. Yeah. Right. No, that's pretty powerful, Mark. I mean, when you think about it, because, you know, it's usually does, it probably takes an outsider to come in and to assess and see that, to really bridge those gaps and understand, like, you guys are really, you kind of are really on the same page, but you're not really going about it the right way. Right.
Yeah. And far often than none that's happening. I mean, everybody wants to go home as a winner.
Right. We all want to have recognition, you know, job well done, you know, be appreciated. You know, I think that's one thing in business that definitely goes, that a lot of people will probably say, you know, is I don't feel appreciated. You mm-hmm. know, I work hard. I don't always feel appreciated. Some people, if they just get the recognition of being appreciated, you know, they're not always motivated by money. They'll work no matter what, as long as they're being felt, as long as they feel like they're appreciated, right?
So those are some of the things that I learned. So the narrative, they were saying the same thing, but it was in a different narrative. So mm-hmm. my job was to bring the narrative and help them share the same story. So once we share the same story, guess what? It's our story, not just my story or your story. It's our story. So at the end of the day, it's helping managers become coaches, workers or team members to become valued team members. And guess what? For example, recognition award is not a card. And so it was coming to the understanding. It's not, you know, and Dale Carnegie, there's a lot of, you know, things out there that, you know, the carrot and stick doesn't work anymore. And so it was helping individuals become valued, not only when they, you know, create and meet the milestone, it's the things in the middle. So mm-hmm. I think those were the things too that, you know, from a manager, because again, they're looking at Gantt charts, they're looking at this, which is okay. Mm-hmm. And mid-level, they were looking at different measures, but it was helping people look at different things from a different vantage point so that it's our story, not just, you know, individualistic stories.
Yeah, you had full stakeholder buy-in from a complete consensus on the approach. I mean, that's great. So that's the workshop process. And so how long does that usually take? Is that like a week's worth of time, you know, a couple of days? What does that look like typically?
So for the workshops, they can get a hold of me and I can customize, but we already have a suite of workshops that are available for either communication, team building, high performance, what have you. And mm-hmm. So what I like to do initially is do a needs assessment, just meet with the executive teams, identify sure. what are the needs, what is working, what's not working. And then this mid manager level.
Mm-hmm. Have assessment there too, right?
Yeah. Assessment there, but then I do a 360 with who? The team members. Because what's important there is that we're all seen and our biases are all different. My job is to get everybody looking through the same vantage point. Mm-hmm. Once that's done, we do a needs assessment and I say, okay, so what skills, what is your desired outcome? Mm-hmm. What do you want out of this? Some is just come in and do a workshop and I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, just understanding what your needs are, we understand what we need to do. Then we say, okay, what skill do you need sharpened? Mm-hmm. See, mm-hmm. sometimes managers, mid-level, don't really realize there's a skill that needs to be sharpened.
Sure, right.
Because you're not going to do it in a one-day workshop.
No, right, yeah.
Organizations believe that a one-day workshop or even a two-day, which we applaud you, for investing in your team, but these are things continually. So what we do is, okay, if you don't want to continue doing, you know, a 6-month program or something like that, what can be done intermittently to create some, you know, to help sharpen that skill?
Sure.
I mean, I was an EMT a long time ago, but Brother Sean, if you go down, hey man, well, I'm gonna have to call 911. I forgot.
I'm a stuff. Big guy too, so you better bring your muscles. Oh my gosh. No, that's great. I mean, well, okay. So let's talk a little bit of another, you know, so you've got this mastermind. Tell me about the mastermind component of your training.
So the mastermind,
your program, I
guess. Yeah, the mastermind is another part of the, or a component of the program. So we have keynotes, workshops, masterminds, and the one-on-one coaching. Again, these are all suites that can be customized, but the masterminds, one individual that was on it, he said, Mark, this is like a book club. I said, like is the right word. We go through a book of John's. There's mm-hmm. a teaching packet that the participant receives, but it's an excellent way to sharpen the skill in between whether you let's just say we do a 2-day workshop. Mm-hmm. And you say, Mark, we don't want any more one day. I mean, because I understand time is money.
Sure.
But what can be done intermittently to sharpen that communication skill, to sharpen that leadership skill, to sharpen mm-hmm. that performance skill, that whatever those skills are that we said on the, guess what, on the needs assessment, these are, you know, because we can do these over a 7-week period, one call, just like on a Zoom call or something,
sure.
jump on a call. And so those are things that could be done, you know, in between to help sharpen and maintain some skill over, because I guarantee you, one of the things that managers, mid-level managers said mm-hmm. was, I don't get enough skill training. I don't get enough upskill training.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, you know, and I think that's the problem that we have, you know, like I'm in consulting. And it's really a lot about, you know, staying utilized, right? And you got to, you know, be billable and you get that focus of, you know, staying focused on, you know, performing and doing a job right. and, you know, staying highly utilized. Well, sometimes you don't have time to, you know, work on yourself, your own skills, right? You know, to train up, to mm-hmm. skill up, to level up basically in your business and your ability. It can be a catch 22 at times because you're so focused on performing versus, you know, having enough time to, you know, work on yourself so you can be a better performer.
Right. Right. Well, and just on that note, for the audience and everybody out there, it's very important, one, that you invest in yourself, but at the end of the day, two, through these, you know, masterminds, guess what you do? You not only sharpen, but I'm challenging you. So there's actions that have to be done in between.
Gotcha. So they're taking ways, they got to do something and they kind of come back and kind of report back to you like, hey, yeah. this is what I did, or this is how right. it affected me doing this, right?
So you're actually potentially building up your next level manager your next level supervisor, your next. So it's it's a way to level up, if you will, like you were saying earlier, Sean, their skill and the potential, you know, next supervisor, next, you know, manager that, you know, because at every level, I'm going to go back to when I was a scaffold builder. The day of hiring a good welder, a good scaffold builder to become a good supervisor, those days are gone.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. And as you increase, especially that mid-level management type, those individuals desperately need the soft skills, not only to manage the process, but effectively lead their team.
Let's talk about some things I know are near and dear to your heart that you're trying to make it a better place than you left it, which is, you know, you recently wrapped up the Hispanic Heritage Month. Talk about what you did to support and elevate Hispanic culture in our industry.
Oh, wow. The Hispanic Heritage Month, for those who, you know, we just finished that October 17th to November 17th. And so I told myself, you know what, Mark, you do a lot of Hispanic outreach, you do all this stuff, but you know what, there's a lot of individuals out there that are doing this. And we need their story needs to be heard. Mm-hmm. Again, everybody has a story. So right. I challenged myself. It was time consuming. I mean, you know, this, when you do the podcast, you got to go back, you got to, you know, from a production side, and you upload.
Oh yeah, you're editing.
There's some time, and I told myself, can I do this? And I said, you know, Mark, it's not a matter of can. Will you?
Yeah, no, you know, like I tell people that too. It's like, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
And so I told myself, I have LinkedIn is awesome, and so I went through my LinkedIn and. Last year, there was one individual I really wanted to interview, but I didn't have the opportunity. She got sick, and that was so. I interviewed three people: Angeles Valenciano, who's a CEO of a top nonprofit group, and then Grace Flores Hughes, who was a civil service employee who was on the subcommittee that actually coined the phrase Hispanic, which was used for the census. And then my dear friend, Rixio Medina, who is a safety professional. It was an amazing takeaway, just listening to the stories of struggle, stories of sacrifice, the story of success, but the stories of humility as well. And there's a common thread through those that I pulled out, and it was that, the story of struggle, success, humility, their backgrounds coming, you know, some came from, you know, Rixio and Angeles came, you know, Angeles came from Mexico, Rixio came from Venezuela. And the stories were powerful to me because, again, one of the things is we have to realize that we are all, your doors that you open up today is paving the way for somebody else. I think it was Maya Angelou said that I stand as one, but I speak as one, but stand with 10,000, meaning that she recognizes that she's standing as one person speaking, but there was 10,000 people that came before her that helped open and pave the way for her to, during the civil rights and all the things that were done to help pave the way for her. And the same by token, that's one of the things that I did this year. And I'm going to be doing it every year now because it was a huge takeaway for me. I felt really good afterwards. Cause I, you know, you're listening, you're editing, but you're like, you know, taking notes. And so for me, it was a huge takeaway, but I was full, not full. I don't know how to say this, but full of like when you receive, you guys like good steaks?
Oh yeah, buddy.
Okay. Like that. Something right. That was really good that you're right. full of enjoyment from listening to the story.
You're fulfilled, right? More full, yeah.
And now you're saying, wow, people can now, you can share their stories. And so
I gotta imagine though, you know, just, you know, the culture, the people who've, you know, come to America or have been born in America, but they're Hispanic heritage, and you know, they're, you know, their culture is important, and it's a piece of the fabric of our society, right? And you have a story, and you have, you know, like you said, these struggles that you've gone through, and others have gone through similar ones, and you guys can, you know, you bind together with that struggle because you can relate.
Yes.
Or the successes, right? I mean, how many successful stories? We got lots of successful stories, you know, to talk about, because, you know, it's been kind of talked about that a lot of Hispanics are very good at creating their own businesses. You know, they can do that because they're entrepreneurial, right? And that's an awesome thing to
tap into.
Yeah, absolutely. And to see the success of that. I mean, that's what is all, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, we talked about that. Ángeles Valenciano, she's the CEO of the National Diversity Network, which is the largest diversity nonprofit group in the U.S. And she's doing some things they started doing some things in Dubai. But it was, again, even if you weren't Hispanic, you would be
probably moved.
Moved because. Yeah. The everybody starts somewhere and desires right. to become go somewhere.
Yeah.
And so those stories of struggle, success, hurt, pain, we talked about familia, we talked about faith, so the things that even if you close your eyes and you know, don't even have to put Hispanic name.
You just realize we're all going through those struggles. Everybody has the same type of challenges in life, right?
And so that was the goal, was that the story it was a catalyst for that. Mm-hmm. The catalyst for unity at the end of the day was that we all have a common shared story. Mm-hmm. We're all intertwined in some shape, fashion, or form. Sure.
Yeah.
And so the stories of success, struggle, pain, sorrow, faith, all those are intertwined in our stories when we see each other in the fabric of the U.S.
Now, this has been great, Mark. Well, you know, we're going to have to wrap this up. We could probably talk, you know, quite a bit longer, I'd imagine. But so how does the ET Nation listeners get a hold of you and to maybe even schedule a workshop or, you know, a keynote or something like that?
Awesome. So for those, you know, we talked about this, we will be honored to serve you guys who are joined in on the podcast and go to my website. And if you go to the website, markspeaks.co, markspeaks.co, and put in hashtag ET Nation between now and the end of the year, we'll give you 20% off of keynote workshop.
You know, because there you go. Listen to that, ET Nation. Let's sign up.
Sign up. And when you do sign up, guess what? You're going to get a free download. It took me 5 years to compile this information. Mm-hmm. You know, because I love information. I love leadership stuff. And I kept building a leadership library. And one of the things that the first question I would ask in a workshop is who has a leadership plan?
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't raise their hand. So if you don't have a leadership plan, you don't have a leadership library.
Mm-hmm. No, I guess you don't.
Yeah. So what do I do? Guess what? When you go in, put your information in, and again, put it in the hashtag ET Nation. That lets me know that you were on the podcast. You get 20% off. And then by doing so, you get a leadership library.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's great. And then you can reach out there and schedule you to come and do a session or two. Or
absolutely.
I actually have a great opportunity in mind for you for a conference next year that I have some involvement with that I think I may try to recommend you for a keynote. So just
awesome.
Yeah, buddy. I'm going to try to get you plugged in here. So, well, Mark, thanks for coming on the show today. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, you know, the nation hasn't actually seen you in action, and I have. So, you know, your enthusiasm is, you know, in reality, when they see you is like 10 times what they saw you today. So, you know, yes. That's when you're really crushing it. And so that's what you want to see, Mark, is see him crushing it. And I'm looking forward to hearing the outcome of this podcast and getting some opportunities for you and seeing you down the road. And we'll be in touch, I'm sure.
I appreciate you. Thank you, guys. Take care. And remember, lead yourself and multiply others.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great night.
You too. Take care, Sean.
Man, man, I want to thank our guest, Mark Hernandez, for coming on to the show today. Mark was crushing it tonight and provided great insights on leadership and why it's so important to invest in yourself and mentor others. For listeners of the show, if you want to receive a 20% discount on Mark's keynote speaking, workshops, masterminds, or coaching services through the end of this year, check out his website at www.markspeaks.co. and mention ET Nation when requesting services. That's www.markspeaks.co. Or you can connect with Mark via email at multiplyleadership@gmail.com. That's multiplyleadership@gmail.com. We'll also put a link to his website on my webpage. To listen to future environmental transformation podcasts, you can check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other podcast networks, or from my website at www.seankgrady.com. You can also follow me on Instagram or the Environmental Transformation Podcast Facebook page. If you enjoyed the podcast and you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends. I would really love to hear feedback from the ET Nation about the episode and future podcast topics you'd all like to hear. Thanks for listening, and until next time, make a positive impact in someone's life today.